Hello, 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 hello. We are back again for another week of Common Good Radio, brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I am Pastor John McClain.
And I am Andres Ruiz.
Yes, sir. And this week we have another great show for you. We'll start the week with an opening prayer. I guess I'll do it right this time.
Let's do it.
So let's go ahead and bow our heads and say, Dear Lord, thank you so much once again for another blessed week. Thank you so much for all the people that you've been here for to help them get through the trying times that have been behind us and will be ahead of us. Thank you so much, Lord, for loving us and being the light where the darkness is. We're so thankful for everything that you bring to us, and we ask for your guidance and your support in moving forward. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you all again for tuning in, for listening, for all you loyal KVOI listeners, and for the people that somehow heard about our amazing new show, Common Good Radio, and tune in to have a little listen of what next will be our weekly scripture. And then on the next spot of the hour, we will hear Andreas give us some motivational tips for the week, which is grown to be one of my favorite parts of my week. And then we'll have Enrique Feldman with Global Learning Foundation, and later Andreas will go through the resume of this guy. He's actually a two-time
Grammy nominated
individual, and with an array of other amazing things that he's done in regards to education and trying to, you know, teach people in a different way, and composing music, and just this array of, I don't know, resume that make me feel like I need to start playing the piano again in studio. So I'm pretty excited to see that. And that's pretty much how we will close out the hour. So I'll jump into the weekly scripture, because this is always a really exciting part for me, not only in this show, but just when I talk to people and just being able to say, okay, hey, this is the scripture that I'm dealing with this week. And, you know, what do you think about it? And just something for you to ponder on. And this week, the scripture is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 10. And with that, it says, Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. I'll say that just one more time, because this is going to be an important part. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So I'll jump back to the, you know, the verse I think that that sticks out with most people. I know a lot of people, whether they, you know, they have it as a tattoo or a verse they have on their wall or something, that, you know, a mantra that they live by, because much like the idea of, you know, you reap what you sow. This verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we live by faith, not by sight. This idea that it is believing in something, it is truly having faith, particularly when we're talking about the gods, the workings of gods, doing the right thing, making good decisions in comparison to making bad decisions, and what that gets us, the consequences of that, rather than with our eyes, you know, with our own eyes. And I was, this morning I was thinking, just in like, you know, and I'll probably open this conversation up to Andreas, because I was thinking about, in having a conversation with Andreas, how did we get to a place where we volunteer? You know, and that's kind of like the epitomization of what this verse is saying, is like, we had faith that if we do good by God and we follow, you know, what we think are the teachings of God's and being a good person, that we will be rewarded in some capacity, whether that's feeling good or whether that's helping people, and, you know, or the plethora of ways that, that one can be rewarded, because by sight, one would think there is no purpose and there's no point in volunteering, because there's no money. There's nothing that's going to really come to me by going down to a soup kitchen and pouring some bowls of soup for some homeless people. You know, that is what our sight would tell us. So, you know, we are blessed, Andreas and myself, to have seen, you know, to have this faith, and to know that if we help people, if we volunteer, if we do good by God, that He will reward us. So I will kind of close that notion, but also open it up to the round table of people, who is just me and Andreas in the room, and you know, get your thoughts on, you know, what does that mean to you? You know, I'll read it one last time, because it means so much to me. For we live by faith, not by sight.
Yeah. Man, that's amazing, because I know that at one point in my life, I was always trying to see, okay, so why am I not getting what the work that I'm putting in? Why am I not getting what I have been putting in this whole time?
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting to see it first to believe it, but I had it all turned around. I have to believe it, and before I even see it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started believing in myself, believing that I could do this work, that many people would have probably said, man, you only have a high school diploma. Why would you even be a motivational speaker or life coach?
Mm-hmm.
And then a great man by the name of Les Brown, I heard him speak, and he said that he had a high school diploma and he was doing public speaking. And then this is another thing. Sometimes we have to be around the people who believed it before they saw it.
Mm.
And so then when we start being around these people, they start helping us believe in ourselves. For example, like our guest today, Enrique Feldman, he's helped me tremendously. You have helped me tremendously. I've had so many people that believed in me when I did not believe in myself. And I think that they saw in me something that I didn't. And so when they started seeing something in me, I started seeing I started having that faith that, you know what, it is possible for me. Even though I don't see the money or, you know, leaving my job or just all these things that I was looking for, because I didn't see it, I didn't believe it. But now when I started believing it and saying, you know, I'm going to have this unwavering faith that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When, I don't know. But the more that I just stop focusing on, why am I not getting this? Why am I not getting this? And just focus on service and helping people, that's when everything started to change in my life, because I wasn't focused on, well, where's the money? Where's the public speaking stage? Where I just started having faith that I'm going to do this because I love doing this, because I love serving people. And that is my purpose. It's my purpose to serve others, to save lives, just like you. That's why we have a great connection. And I know that when you meet Enrique, we're going to connect so well, because we are on the same mission, and that's to save lives.
Nice. Yeah. And I like usual, I love how you expound on the thought, and you kind of like even help me recenter a thought that I already kind of intellectualized a lot, is with this, for we live by faith, not by sight. A lot of what's saying is you manifest what you see.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first step, like step one is believe that this is going to happen. Step two is work on making it happen. Step three is you get to see it.
Yep.
So it's definitely a beautiful thought, especially in context of this verse. You had Paul, who is kind of the narrator here, who just right after seeing, you know, Jesus crucified and seeing him resurrected and seeing all this stuff, and he knows, like, Paul believes with all of his soul, like, I got a spot right next to God. Like, I'm right next to him at his right hand. Like, mm-hmm. I already see it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to give you guys is that same thing.
Yeah.
But if you want to see it yourself, like, I already see my spot right next to God at his right hand, you got to believe it. That's the first step.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Man, are you shaking right now? I don't know.
Man,
this is getting me.
I
got shook. This is...
Dude, that's what it's about. And that's the beauty about having these conversations with people like yourself. We get to connect with people who are thinking on the level of, how can I serve and how can I bring something good to the world?
All right. Awesome. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed my weekly scripture with Pastor John McClain. We're going to go ahead and try to pay some of the bills for this radio show. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission.
And fennel.
Okay, so we are back to the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain.
And I'm Andres Ruiz.
And we are in studio with Enrique Feldman. And he was telling us exactly what he would get on his pizza if he were to order it right now. Let's go over that one more time, actually, before I introduce you to the big boy radio.
Sure. I mean, yeah. So the question was, does pineapple belong on pizza?
Uh-huh.
And so for me, it's yes. So my pizza would be pineapple, jalapeno, and ham.
Okay, that's a serious pizza.
I'm not messing around.
One thing I do know is my stomach could not handle that. So if we did order that here today, I would have issues all the rest of the evening.
Oh, man.
So yeah,
okay.
You and Andreas would have to have that pizza on your own. And Valerie, and actually to mention, we got Valerie Smith in studio here. She's taking some photos for us. Hopefully she'll make us look beautiful. I know Andreas always looks beautiful, so it's hard. It's hard for her to do wrong there.
Side.
But Valerie, she's doing a shout out for Black Lives Matter BLM today. So
cool.
Let's show them some love and definitely go and support them in honor of Valerie donating her time to make us look beautiful and get some promos out there so people will think that we're a serious radio show and serious people. I love
there you
it.
Go.
Yeah. So we'll come in with have Andreas's motivational talk of the week, and then after the break we will we'll jump in with Enrique Feldman with Global Learning Foundation, and we'll spend at least 20 or 30 minutes really to dig in his brain and figure out how awesome he really is.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so take it away, brother.
Yeah, thanks, man. So today I want to talk to you about actually I'm going to tell you a story first. And yeah, this was maybe about a year ago when, actually about a year and a half ago, maybe two. I don't remember exactly, but I remember I was going to go speak to a crowd of 500 students. And in that moment, I was scared. I was really scared. And I was thinking, oh man, 500 students, that's a lot of kids. I used to be a teenager, so I used to make fun of people a lot. And I was thinking, oh, I'm going to get made fun of. And then at that moment, I was talking to one of my coaches, and I asked him, I told him, hey, man, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can go through with this. And he says, stop being so selfish and stop thinking about your fears and start thinking about the people you're going to serve. And in that moment, I told myself, wow, that's so true. I'm focusing on myself. I'm being selfish, and I need to go out there and just serve. And in that moment, I went on stage and I spoke about my depression, my anxiety, how I went through drugs, alcohol, almost overdosing on cocaine. And I told the students all of these stories about my life. And after the speech, I remember going outside, and one of the girls came up to me and she told me, hey, I really love your speech. I really enjoyed what you were talking about. And she started telling me about her life, and she was telling me, I am actually going through a lot of things right now. I've been to 8 psychiatric homes. I've been to 5 foster homes. My family's in Michigan, and tomorrow is going to commit suicide. And then she told me, but now I want to get help, and I want to reach out to somebody. So that day we took her to the counselor, and because I decided to not focus on my fear, I saved a life that day. And this is exactly what I want to talk to everybody about today, is how when we start focusing on service, which all of us here do, including Valerie and Enrique and John, we all focus on service and we don't have time to focus on our fears. And for myself, being of service has changed my life tremendously. And that's the message that I want to bring to everybody today. It's focusing on service and not your fears. What can you start doing for your community, for your neighbor, for somebody that we could reach out to? For example, I've done volunteer work for Veterans Rescue Mission, helping them with their tiny homes, cleaning the yard, helping them with their little garden, and also focusing on what can we do for our community? What can we do for them? And once you start focusing on the service and then the gratitude that you get in return, the appreciation you get from these people, it's amazing, because you just never know who needs help. And when we're getting that gratitude, that appreciation, there's nothing like it. It's a lot better than getting paid, than getting materialistic things. When you have that connection with that human being who needs help and they give you this appreciation and gratitude, that's like one of the greatest feelings that I have ever had in my life. And I actually want to throw it over here to Enrique. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, the energy of gratitude is a real thing. And we now can measure the energy of thoughts. And so our thoughts create physiological changes. And they create a different kind of brain. So I think that what you're talking about is a critical aspect of being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And evolving to a state where we see gratitude and love are the two energies I focus on a lot. Where gratitude is something that we receive. Sometimes we can be grateful in different ways. One of my favorite mantras is I am gratitude, which is different than saying I am grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So I like saying I am gratitude. I feel all this energy coming at me, to me, with me. And then right after that is I am love, which is then returning the favor. So for me, it's a cycle. Gratitude and love are a cycle. So your story is really powerful because you did. My favorite thing you've said so far today is when you are focused on service, we don't have time to even think about our fears. It becomes a moot point.
Mm. Mm. Nice. Well said.
Man, I feel like I'm in like the studio with this powerhouse of motivation, man. This is great. You guys keep it up. I'm just going to watch.
I totally agree, man. And I tell myself that I am love, I am compassion, I am empathy, I am courageous, I am family, I am giving. And you, the more that you speak these words of I am, these words, you start becoming that. You start speaking it out into the world, and now you automatically think it and you say it. And then when you say what you say and what you think, if they come together, then that's when you're really starting to evolve and change. And for me, that's what changed my life, thinking these thoughts, but really being real about it. Sometimes I would think, I wouldn't think those thoughts, but I would speak them. And sometimes I felt like an imposter. Sometimes I felt fake. But the more that I spoke it, the more that I did it, and the more that I actually took action on these words that I was speaking to the universe, I told myself, I am compassion. I am service. I love helping people. And now I am doing that. And because of people like Enrique, like John, I'm able to stay on this path because sometimes I get derailed. I go into fear. And I have to reach out to somebody and say, hey, man, right now I'm having some tough time with this. Can you help me? And sometimes Enrique has told me, oh, man, yeah, can I tell you what I've been through? And I'm like, wow, everybody's been through it.
Mm.
Yeah. So he's been of service to me. You've been of service to me. And I'm truly grateful for all of you guys.
And I don't know how this happened, but somehow, like, what you're talking about is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 10.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like somehow your motivational message, and I promise you out there, radio listeners, we probably should have coordinated this, but we did not coordinate this, our messages. But yeah, it's like, again, that just like manifesting, believing in it, you know, that first step, believing in it and kind of steadfastly believing in it and then making it happen and, you know, making it so you do see in it. So making it so that those notions of having faith and having sight kind of merge and become one thing because that just that initial belief, that unwavering belief, which I feel like in the last show, we kind of talked about that a lot as just kind of like just pushing through that fear. Cause that's kind of, for me, it seems like that's the root of it. And it's like, and it's weird. As soon as that idea crossed my path, that all these things that I haven't been doing, the root of it is fear, a light bulb went on and it was like, okay, well, I can handle that. Like, mm-hmm. Especially being a combat veteran, it's like, I can break through fear. Like, I can, you know, I can punch a bumblebee. It's fine. You know, it's like, these are things that I can deal with where before, like, just not even understanding that it was fear that is why I was being quote unquote lazy out there. You can't see, but I'm doing bunny ears, or why, you know, I was procrastinating, putting things off because I was afraid that, you know, let's say with my homework, I was afraid that I wouldn't get the grade that I would get, yeah. or I was afraid when I did, you know, if I studied and I wouldn't get the grade on the test that I would get. So there's these, like, there's, you know, so much to it that on the surface we don't realize, but having people like yourselves, you know, these beautiful educators, and maybe I'm even hopefully one of those people myself to, help people push through these notions and teach them those basics.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Common Good Radio Show. My name is Andres Ruiz, sponsored by Veterans Rescue Mission.
And I'm Pastor John McClain.
And on today's show, we have a very special guest, a really good friend of mine, which I consider like a brother. And Enrique Feldman, we met, I want to say last year.
Yeah.
It's been almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it feels like we've known each other for a long time. Nice. We connect so well.
Yeah.
And ever since that first meeting, we've just been jamming, coming up with workshops, with some new things that are coming up mm-hmm. as well. And so Enrique Feldman, he is the founder of Global Learning Foundation. He mm-hmm. is a public speaker, coach, mentor. He's a musician. He was nominated twice for a Grammy. And he also has his brain games, which I use myself as well when I go do public speaking,
yeah.
Have helped me out tremendously. And my kids do it as well. They read his books, Sam the Ant books. He's an author.
Co-author.
Yeah. with his daughter.
Not
yeah.
by himself.
Yeah, like, not
he's
by
not
himself.
A standalone author.
His daughter.
With
yeah, his,
other people, he
yes.
is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
yeah, and living life like a child. Living like a child, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so. I mean, I could go on about Enrique Feldman mm-hmm. and what he has done in his life, and he's still doing. And this man's not going to retire ever. He's just going to continue doing this yeah. type of work because he loves it.
He's one of those immortals that they tell us about, isn't
yeah,
he? Yeah,
he
I
is.
Can tell it. Is, I can see by the look in his eyes. He's
yeah.
very stoic.
yes, he's very stoic. So, yeah, thank you, man, for being here. We appreciate you. And,
oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, round of applause.
Round of applause.
I know the engineer, we got some like round of applause music. Is that a thing?
No, yeah, no,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no, he's looking at me.
Might
like
have to put on the USB.
Sorry.
So yeah, so let's get into it, man. So Enrique, I know you founded Global Learning Foundation. Now, how long has Global Learning Foundation been serving Tucson, and what does Global Learning Foundation do?
Well, we started out February of 2000, and back then we were known as the FAME Foundation, which originally, the original name was Fighting Against Mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife, who's an incredible pianist, an educator, and one of our original board members, almost immediately started suggesting that I change the name to something that doesn't use the word fighting, because their point was that which you fight, you empower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can interpret that. That could be another show. But anyway, I pushed back for a couple of years. Like, I didn't want to change it because I had my perspective, you know, my bias too, which I was unaware of.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, then it became Fostering Arts Mind, Artistic and Mind Education. And then the newest DBA is Global Learning Foundation. And what we do is we serve children, families, and parents. We're based here in Southern Arizona, but we do the work all over the U.S. and some work in Mexico and Canada. And, now we're connected to Fight Cancer Global, which is, represents over 60 countries. So it truly is a small organization financially, but with a huge impact. And we do that in different ways. But so in a nutshell, that's what we do.
Yeah.
And I said, kind of add on to that, like, what made you think to get into that? Like, where did they get really, like, tap on you? What was the catalyst for you?
You know, this is a good, that's a great question, and the answer might really inspire a lot of people, because I think people look at other people who create a lot of things and think that when they're creating that thing, that they have everything figured out in that moment. And that absolutely was not the case. So I left the University of Arizona as a professor of music and education. I was the band director at the U. 92 to 97. By 2000, I started the foundation. My goal originally was to match my pay at the U of A, which wasn't that much at the time in that particular school. It varies from on the campus. And so, it was going to be music and education. And today it went off into early childhood education. We've done a lot of work in pre-K world. And now it's all ages. Now it's nonprofits, it's for profits. We've worked with APS in Phoenix. We've worked with, large school districts in South Carolina and all over Southern Arizona. So you don't have to have everything figured out at the inception. What you have to do is you have to take action. And you have to find ways, back to what you said earlier, you have to find ways to set your focus so that it's not focused on fear.
Yeah, I agree. And he's taught me that too, that take action. Action always kills fear. And it's very true sometimes, but sometimes I would get paralyzed and just sit there and overthink things and thinking that everything had to be perfect. And every time that we had a conversation, he would just say, just remember that action is what kills fear and it'll eliminate the fear. And it's great to hear that constantly, not only from him, but from other people. And it motivates me. It pushes me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so now I understand that your org has served over like 135,000 children right. and families. And how have you accomplished that?
Well, we've done that with partnerships. So right now we're partnering with Community Foundation of Southern Arizona, Interfaith Community Services, Tom McKinney's group. We've worked with United Way in the past, First Things First at the state level, Early Childhood group. So there's a lot of power in partnerships. We try not to reinvent the wheel. And so we connect with other people. And we're an organization that's just below six figures or just above six figures. So financially, we're very small. But our impact has been, significant.
Yeah, and I think I get it. Like with our organization, Veteran Rescue Mission, I mean, I think in the kind of a similar spot where, you know, just below six figures, just above six figures, but we can't do everything. Like we can't house every veteran. We can't fill out everybody's applications and all the other fun stuff. But what we can do is inform the people that need help of these services, and we can, you know, help the other organizations that are already doing these things, whether it's getting them volunteers or volunteer our own selves.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I those that are out there in the world are apprehensive to get out there in the world. I hope you're hearing what Enrique is saying and, you know, what we're talking about and, you know, using the community and using the resources out there to get into it. Cause I meet too many people that just have hearts exactly like our own. Andreas really being one of those people, like when we first met, where he was just like, he didn't know which way was up, which direction to go. He just wanted to help people however he could, but he didn't know how to, you know, turn that into an organization that, you know, like me and Enrique are talking about, you know, just over six figures, just below six figures, that is, can be a pillar for a community, which, I mean, in a lot of ways, Andreas in himself, he's such a powerhouse. He is that pillar to the community and one step away from, I believe in myself, being that thing instead of it just being Andrea. So it's been just this beautiful thing to grow. And it's like almost nice. It's like seeing that, you know, I don't know, that caveman draw, you know, where like he's growing. That's what we see in the studio where you got the younger version and then you got me. I'm a little bit more advanced. Then you got, you know, the completely advanced version of what man finally made his way to be. So it's pretty cool evolution that we have in the studio. And I guess that's, to jump to the next question, so as part of your foundation work, I know you speak a lot and lead workshops. Tell us more about the workshops you do and like kind of what that is.
Sure, it's what I do as a speaker, and really everything I do has been greatly impacted by one of my mentors. I've had many. I thought everyone had multiple mentors, you know, starting young, and then I realized that was not the case. So that's one thing I keep in mind. But Dr. Carol Reinhart. I mentored with him for 14 years. He was a contemporary of Fred Rogers. So he was like a Fred Rogers of Southern Arizona and really well known and produced over 1,500, musicals and operas with kindergarten through eighth graders where the students wrote the script and everything. It's an incredible legend. And so, we talked about things like, and this is what I talk about, things like when is the learner or when is the individual most engaged? When do they build community? When are they most connected to the energy of what they're doing? So we try and get to the essence of what it is. Now, on the public-facing side of things, it's things like communication skills, improved personality recognition, understanding love recognition, understanding the art of the question. They're all sorts of things. But in the end, it's all meant to develop the potential of organizations and individuals.
Okay.
By revealing, having their own purpose revealed to them. So we're not in the business of telling people what their purpose is. We're more interested in asking a lot of questions and that igniting enough curiosity that they end up thinking anew, thinking differently, thinking more openly, thinking, yes, we can be bold and we can be compassionate, right? We can be It's and, not or.
Huh. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we will we'll go and have give our sponsors some love with that note. We're in studio with Enrique Feldman with Global Learning Foundation. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm Pastor John McClain with Andreas Ruiz. And we are back once again to grace your eardrums. Here we are. I'm Pastor John McClain. This is a Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. I'm in studio with Mr.
Andres Ruiz.
Yes, sir. And we have Enrique Feldman with Global Learning Foundation in studio with us. And we know that he definitely likes pineapple on his pizza.
Yep.
Just for you kids out there that are keeping score.
Yes.
I see you, Timmy. We got our eyes on you.
All right.
So, back to the man of the hour, or at least the 23 and a half minutes. Enrique, you founded the Global Auction. No, that's the question from last segment. So let's ask you something that we haven't already asked you. I was going to try to catch you off guard so you'd give this different answer, but I'll let you off the hook today. So, I know of your foundation. Definitely Andreas brags about you like you're literally related to him. And these brain games, he keeps telling me about them. And kind of some of your coaching stuff. So definitely better explain to me what are these brain games, so myself and the listening audience can believe all of these outlandish lies that Andreas has been feeding into our heads about your greatness.
Well, back around 2002 or so, after I started the foundation, I was working with young children, 3 to 5 year olds.
Mm.
And so some people thought back then that you had to control the learner.
Mm-hmm.
The child, right? The control was the issue. So they could focus, so they could pay attention.
Mm.
So it comes from a good sentiment, but it's not about control, it's about empowering. So how do you empower a young kid? How do you help them not become disciplined, but become self-regulatory? When they can self-regulate,
mm-hmm.
discipline is a byproduct.
Mm.
Discipline should not be the goal. People get confused, right? So, and I've worked with, I was once in inner city watch working with 64-year-olds all at once. Okay, so what do you do to engage them and get them focused
mm-hmm.
without saying, you know, rah, 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 if you do that, you know, instead of making threats.
Yeah.
So what I do is I play. And I do that with for-profits as well. And the brain games is one of the ways in which we play. So play is a bridge to learning. It's the bridge to learning. In fact, Einstein said play is the highest form of research.
Einstein said it, it must be true.
It's got to be true. It can't be
absolutely.
Just a meme. But so the brain games use your fingers and your arms and your hands and you're crossing the middle of your body in time mm-hmm. with classical music at specific tempos and specific frequencies. So they're research-based and they're evidence-based.
Mm-hmm.
So even though people can't see us right now, I want to take you through just two super quick.
Awesome.
So that you can, on radio, say whatever you want, and we'll see what happens. So put your arms like an X, make a letter X, right in front of you. Good. And we don't have the music. That's okay. One, two, ready, and switch. Switch. And you're doing great. And I'm really glad you're doing great because that's a 3-0 brain game. So I'm thrilled that you're not having troubles with that.
Now show me. I knew I'd get it.
Now show me a finger pointing straight out, and the thumb is in, the thumb's not down. The top of the hand is up, right? And the other hand, the thumb straight up. A one, two, ready, and switch, two, three, and switch. Exactly.
Switch. I don't know what's going on. And my fingers are broken.
No, it's a new message for your brain. So here's the deal. Newness is where it's at. The moment we, as adults especially, go, nah, I'm good, bro. I don't need anything new. That's the moment we choose to age neurologically. Mm-hmm. So with young children, it's pretty easy. What I love doing is when I'm working with a group of lawyers or an individual coaching client or whatever, or a large company with adults, and what happens is what happened to you.
Mm.
Like, what just happened? So there's over 300 of these, and they now exist online as a resource. And then we also use them live like we just did.
I definitely could see. I almost want to take that for when I speak with a large group, because I could just see a group of 300 people just chuckling so much trying to do that finger point thumb thing. Because like those at home, if you didn't try that, please try that. It was just, it's so hilarious.
Well, check this out. Here's a metaphor for you.
Okay.
So if you're doing this one, the X, I sometimes ask the question, so what does complacency look like in the workplace? It looks like this, because it's an old message. There's no challenge, right? What does exciting, thrilled, you know, really you're all in as a learner or a leader, whatever it is, employee, it looks kind of like that, the other one, the harder one where you got to figure it out, where there's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Well, the first time I've actually tried with my kids too, and they love it, man. We actually did a presentation, my son and I, for his school, and we were doing the brain games. Kids were all into it, man. They love it.
It's
awesome. It's awesome.
I have a 12 and 10 year old, and I can't wait to show that to them.
Remind me to give you the link. I'll give you the link.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, you're also an author with your daughter. So tell us a little bit more about that as well.
It's an amazing story. My daughter is, she's a force of nature. And I mentor her, but she also mentors me, much like my relationship with my son, who's 21. My daughter's 26 now. So my daughter and I are the co-authors of Sam the Ant. And you can find those, you know, samtheant.com. And it's bilingual children's books. And it's a series. So the end of one book is the beginning of the next, much like Series of Unfortunate Events, that kind of thing, or Harry Potter. And so it starts out kinder. And we're on book 7 right now.
Nice.
And the first 5 are published. And it's going great. And the books are all about understanding that more than one perspective is a good thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding adversity can be your ally. And understanding that diversity is a strength. So they're really profound books, but a lot of fun. And they all have a twist. So at the end of book 1, it's a big storm, the answer. On a leaf, using it like a boat, you know, and then at the end, the dragonfly saves them, and they get up way high above the storm, and they see where the storm came from, and it was a grandma, a nana, watering a plant. So I'll ask children, was it a storm? And a lot of kids are like, no, it wasn't. And this one time, this little kid was adamant. He was like, yeah, it is a storm. And of course, I know it's a storm. So I said, well, why do you think it's a storm? And he looked at me like an idiot. He's like, oh, it's a storm for the ants. And I said, why? And he looked at me like I was a complete idiot, like a moron. He's like, because they're small. You know, so the raindrops look huge. Why? Because the ants are small. So, but the books get pretty serious down the road. So, and my daughter, you know, she's been through an amazing set of challenges in her life, and it's a happy ending. She is a conductor of choir. She is a music teacher here in Tucson. Same with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra Chorus.
Nice.
So, and it's really special to be on that kind of journey with your own kid.
I bet. Yeah, it's beautiful to have that type of adventure with your daughter. I mean, we have 45 seconds to touch on it because we have about 2 minutes and I want to give you opportunity to let people know how to get a hold of you.
Like, okay.
How was that experience like, you know, to have this project with your daughter? It just seems like a dream to me just in hearing
it. It is. And here's why. Because I'm her dad, she's my daughter, but we're also much better friends now, and we're colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 3 distinct levels of conversation, if not more, and we're brutally honest with each other. It is an atypical father-daughter relationship, much like the one I have with my son, but I know what's going on with him, and they confide in me, and I confide in them.
Nice.
So there's open trust. It's amazing.
Yeah. So as we, before we get out of here, what's the easiest way to contact you and for someone to support your foundation?
They would go to globallearning.foundation, and we are 501c3 nonprofit. So it's global learning, and then instead of .com, it's a .foundation.
Mm.
And if you click on contact or if you scroll, if someone's looking to donate, it'd be great. The give page is right there in the first page. It's real easy to find. And if they want to reach out to us for questions about educational programming, parent education, workshops, they just click the contact button, and then we'll get an email.
Okay. So for the average person listening that, like, let's say Valerie Smith, and I'll give one more plug to Valerie Smith, our photographer in the office, that's giving some love to Black Lives Matter today for her beautiful time. You know, what would you recommend to the average person that comes up to you and is like, okay, how can I help? Like, how can I get involved? What do you usually tell them, your average John?
I get two kinds of questions. Some flat out ask me, hey, where can I give? you know, where can I donate? But others want to donate their time.
Mm.
And so we have connections in town with folks like Make Way for Books. So there might be someone who wants to read to children, right? Storytellers,
mm-hmm.
right? That kind of thing. There might be people who want to work with people just in their own circles of contacts mm-hmm. who are suffering from, let's say, PTSD or whatever challenge is. And so I forgot to mention, half our foundation is about education learning. The other half is about health and wellness, which okay. I really haven't spoken to today. So there are ways we can get people involved.
Yeah, awesome. And I definitely, we also didn't get to touch on the work you do with veterans and PTSD. So we'll right. certainly be having you in the studio again next month.
Sure.
So you guys keep your eyes out for Enrique Feldman. Go to globallearning.foundation mm-hmm. to donate and to get involved. This is the Common Good Radio Show brought to you by Veteran Rescue Mission. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.